Okay, Mother's Day. There is a lot that can be said on Mother's Day that probably every bit of it has been said before. I think I have shared this before about the young man, young child that was wandering around the church, obviously lost. The pastor went into the hallway and he said, "Well, hello, young man." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Are you looking for someone?" "Yeah," he said, "I'm looking for a woman." And he said, "She's about 5'10", and she has red hair, and she's wearing a blue dress, and I need to find her." And the pastor asked him, "Well, what's her name?" And he looked at him, and he said, "Mom." So it's important today that we remember mothers, and in having said that, I suppose the traditional thing is to have all mothers stand so that we can recognize you. So anybody that's a mother, can you please stand up? Everyone, a good mother. I thank you. I don't, in today's society in which we live and function and do the things that we do, motherhood always has been a very important thing. But as the attack on the families continue to take place, we understand that the head of the family will bear the brunt of the attack. That's the man. In many cases, I know we have a number of single mothers in the congregation. But the issue is, if the man's not present or if the man is failing in his duties, then it falls to the mother to take that place and to lead that fight and to offer that covering of protection. Now, though that's not right, that's the society in which we live. In 1970, there were 3 million single mothers in the United States. And this year, there are 82.5 million mothers in the United States. So it's been a tremendous increase. I said 3. I think that number should be 30. But the fact of the matter is, in these ensuing years, the number of mothers who the charge to raise children is given to by themselves has increased dramatically. That is one of the trends that's in society. And I just honor the mothers. And we will, through the course of this service, we will just honor mothers, and we'll honor motherhood. We will honor what mothers do, and we will hopefully try to begin to understand. And I think we do understand the importance of motherhood. What I have today, I have 5 assurances for mothers. The first, when we will go to John 14:16, that will be our first scripture today. You know, the assurances that I want to give for mothers, everybody remembers mothers and Mother's Day and the things that happen in life. Everyone has their own unique memories. And so a few weeks ago, I asked my daughter, what did she remember most, you know, about the old house that we used to live in on Lamplighter? You know, what memory was with her? And she said, it was the time that Mom threw the silverware across the kitchen and did that hi-ya Japanese kick thing and jumped across. See, that was all news to me. I hadn't heard that. But, you know, there is an issue with motherhood. It can be pretty tedious at times. And so I asked Dallas, I said, "Well, that's a new story for me. What was that all about?" Oh, she said, "I was so mad. I was so frustrated." So I said, "Well," and you know, that's kind of the end of the story. If you've been a husband for any length of time, you realize when the story ends, and there's no use in, you know, you don't want any more details. You've got everything you need to have, and forget the rest of it. But I tell you what, motherhood's a difficult job. It's a terribly difficult job, and it is at times a sorrowful job, and it's a heartbreaking job, and I hate to say job, but it's a thing that you do that is probably the most rewarding thing, I think, I hope, that a woman could do. I believe on the basis of what the Scripture says it is. God wants us to go, and He wants us to raise children, all right? And God has set in place a plan, and it is a plan for the family. Now, when I went to school and we studied about the families, they have what they call the nuclear family. And the nuclear family at that time was one husband, one wife, I think 2.3 or 2.5 children on the average. And the husband worked outside the home, and the wife stayed in the home and was the homemaker and the caregiver. All right? Now, the thing that has happened in the years that have passed is that concept of the nuclear family no longer really exists. It's a valid concept, but we have all of these issues with the gay lifestyle, and we have all of these issues with divorce and single mothers. And frankly, I had a psychologist tell me one time in some training that I was taking, he said, we talked about this issue of the nuclear family. He said, I can take you places. He said, I can take you places in the inner city of Philadelphia where I did my internship. And he said, I can find you children that have no concept of what you are talking about. They cannot understand it. Not only have they not experienced it, they have never seen it. They come from households that are not at all set up, not at all like the plan that God has established for the home to be. And believe me, and I mean this with all sincerity, God established this. It's not something that I come here and say, this is the way I want it to be, or this is the way I think it should be. Rest assured that on the basis of what the Scriptures tell us, that if it was this way, and that is why the attacks are so strong against the family, that if it was this way, the society in which we live would be a better place than it is now. To destroy the society in which we live, Satan has to attack the family, because that's the foundational building block of any society and any culture. What we're finding is that attack against the family, in many areas, we're losing the battle. So we have to be aware that the task of parenting is a difficult thing, and it's difficult for the father too. But we're not here to talk about the father today. We're here to talk about the mother. Because, you know, the mother of her children is in contact with those children. I mean, I as a father, having raised my children, I leave in the morning and I come back at night. And when my children were young, I didn't stay with them all day. You know, much of what was imparted to them was imparted by their mother. Now, that again, that was my part in the family. I mean, I was involved. And I don't want to minimize what the father's responsibility is. But I do want everyone to understand what the mother's responsibility is. And the mother's responsibility is a nurturing relationship with her children. Now, motherhood is as a father, I was gone, not a lot, but I mean, you know, if you're out making a living, you're gone from the house every day from a certain time to a certain time. And the mom is there with the children during that course of time. Now, when I come home, the kids are always glad to see me, or they were, you know, when they were little. It's like they meet me at the door, oh, Dad, you know, you're such a good guy. And I'm thinking, well, this is like it is all day long. Well, you know, after I got a little older and been married a little while, I began to discover that's not the way it is with mothers and fathers, and that's not the way it is all day long in the house. Now, motherhood is can be, sometimes it seems as though motherhood and loneliness go hand in hand. Because it is, when you become a mother, you take on a responsibility that places such demands upon you that it is very difficult for you to be involved in anything else. Now, understand, I'm talking to you as a man, as a father here, okay? Probably would have been better if Pastor Lenore had been here to do the Mother's Day service. But from my perspective and from what the Scripture tells me, I understand that it is a challenging job. And I also want to say that in the culture in which we live, it has become a fight of paramount importance. If there is one area in the culture that we're losing, we're losing our young people. And we're losing them younger and younger. In other words, I mean, it's terribly important what happens in the youth group. It's terribly important what happened in the family and the lives of your young people. Because as Satan attacks the head of the house and disrupts and makes that house dysfunctional, but the thing that he's doing is he's trying to steal a generation of young people. I mean, it is a fight. It is a battle. And I can tell you, culturally, I'm just talking broad brush strokes, the whole culture in which we live, we're losing our young people. That is where Satan, that is one of the primary areas in which he's attacking. That makes motherhood, the concept of motherhood, and this idea of motherhood, this thing of motherhood, that makes it all the more important. But it doesn't make it any less easy at all, at all. So I understand that from my perspective as a man, I know it's a hard job. But I don't believe that I can stand up here and tell you truthfully, I know how hard it is. I know how hard what I do is. I know the difficulties and the challenges. And I see and can understand what it's like to be a mother. The first assurance, and I'm going to give you five assurances here, and these are for mothers. The first assurance is, you will always have a constant companion. Mothers, you will always have a constant companion. I want to go to John 14:16. And here Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. God gives the comforter for these moments, these times, these periods of loneliness, whether you're married or you're a single mother. You're going to have these times of loneliness. I know that mothers feel isolated because they have other people that are dependent on them. And other people that, as they've accepted this responsibility, that take the priority. They have to be the priority. First of all, because that's what God established it to be. And second of all, because they are dependent upon you. So, like, the issue of loneliness and the issue of motherhood, I may have already said this, but sometimes it seems as though they go hand in hand. Now, this is one of the things, frankly speaking, as a father, I can tell you, I can read about it, I know about it, you know, I understand it in theory and somewhat in practice, but not to the degree and not to the magnitude that a mother does. Okay? So, he says that he may abide with you forever. God gives the Holy Spirit as a comforter to mothers. Now, he gives the Holy Spirit as a comforter to all of us. But let me tell you something. I think he gives it especially, I believe he gives it especially to and for mothers. I mean, the issue of having that comforter. And again, I want to go back to this issue of single motherhood. You know, I'm not trying to single mothers out here. But I want to say it is a fact of the society in which we live. And I want to say to single mothers that this service is for you as much or more than it is. And I don't mean to say more. I'm kind of digging myself into, I'm having a little trouble explaining what I'm trying to say here and be gracious and not offensive about it. What I do want to say is that single motherhood is a job that... I couldn't do it. I'm telling you what, I see how hard it is. I see how hard it is. And just what I see, which is probably the tip of the iceberg, tells me it's something I couldn't do. And God says that he sends a comforter to abide with you forever. Because there are times when you are a mother, when my son-in-law was in the service and in the war, and my daughter was living with us because she was pregnant and she had Tiffany, our granddaughter. There was a time when she got very ill in the night. And, of course, Tiffany, our granddaughter, was, you know, she just didn't understand dark and light. She just wanted to stay up. And so I got up and went downstairs, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, I could see that my daughter was, well, she was beat. She was sick. She had this small child, you know, that was demanding. So I thought, well, I'll go down and spell her for a while. You know, I mean, to tell you something, I was healthy. I was well. I was rested. I loved my granddaughter. But one night of that was just about all I could handle. I mean, I turned the TV on. And let me tell you, there's not a whole lot on TV at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I thought, well, the TV will keep her occupied. You know, she can, oh, now she wants to get up. She wants to play. She just wants to be alive. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be alive. But the rest of us at 2 o'clock in the morning want to be asleep. Yeah, dead, I was going to say. Not dead, but asleep. Dead to the world. We want to be dead to the world. But the issue is, That is something that was a difficult night. That was one night for me. And see, I know for those who have children, it's not just one night. And for those mothers that are single, many times there is not that helping hand of a grandfather or a father to be the support group that children need to have and that mothers need to have. So the Holy Spirit is sent to mothers to be a constant companion. I've been married to my wife for 31 years, and we've been companions, but not constant companions, which is not all bad. But you know, I understand the issue of companionship, and that's an issue of help. So Jesus says he'll send the comforter to comfort mothers. And I know mothers need to have that comfort because seeing your children in illness or in pain or emotional or physical, I'll draw on some experiences that I have experienced, you know, as a parent over the years. And I remember one time my youngest boy got his finger in a grinder in the shop. And he ground it down to the bone. You know, I heard him say, "Dad, how do I stop this?" He flipped it off. And that's the only time I can swear to you in my life. We always had rules in the shop, and one of those was the kids never got out of line of sight. And I happened to have a big tractor in there. He wandered off. I was talking to an employee, and I heard that grinder go, you know, just hit the motor and stop. And then I heard him say, "Dad, how do you stop this thing?" And then I heard him scream. And, you know, I had to go there, and I had to take his finger out of that grinder. And I'll end the story at the beginning by saying, you know, it some surgery took care of it. I mean, it was a bad thing, but it wasn't, he didn't lose a finger or anything like that. But the issue is, let me tell you something, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. And given the choice of me dying and him having to go through what he had to go through, I gladly would have done it. I'm very serious about that. That's one instance in the life of one of my children. And I know when you are a mother and you have, you know, other children. I don't want to say many children, but I don't know how many mini children is. My grandfather was one of 17 children. That's many. So I don't know really what many to me. Many is three. I have three, and that's many. Many too many sometimes. But the issue is that you have those things and they are compounded. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's not just one thing. Sometimes it's just, I mean, we left for church one morning. We always thought when we were raising kids, if we were 5 minutes late, we were actually early. And I remember we had everybody all dressed up, and I'm telling you what, our kids, I had my youngest, my oldest boy had a suit. Nice little suit. Boy looked good. You know? I mean, we were walking out the door. I was thinking, he's in the house. It had rained. And we were walking out the door thinking, we are going to be early, really early today, before the service starts. And when I started out the door, he come running to the house, and in his nice little new suit, and he had fallen in a puddle of water just like Superman. I mean, he was just, the front of him was just total mud. You know, and you just go, oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, and you see, it's just, like I say, that's just one thing. Sometimes your day starts that way. And then it just never gets any better. it just keeps going like that. And I understand, again, I'm talking from a father's perspective, but it was pretty frustrating that day. But you know what? When we brought my first son home from the hospital, every time he moved, that first night, every time he moved, I woke up. And that is the only time. That one day, that's the only time. I never woke up again. But you see, somebody has to. Somebody has to. And I'm not going to say that's the mother's responsibility, but you know, that's the way it works sometimes. And if you're a single mother, then that's the way it has to work. So I understand that issue of this period of time in which you're raising children is I will say this to young mothers and young fathers and young families. You know, when you're in the midst of raising your children, it seems like it will never end. I mean, I am telling you, it's this play and that play and this concert and that ball game and this team and that team. I mean, there was summers that one summer Dallas would go with one kid one way on the weekend, I would go with one kid the other way on the other weekend. So this issue of all of these things that have to be done, I can understand that. And it's a very demanding time. When you're my age, and it looks like it was over so quickly, I mean, I'm just going to tell you now, I have grandchildren now, and I can look at my grandchildren and see my children. It just seems like yesterday when I see my granddaughter, it just literally seems like yesterday that was my daughter. You know, I've got pictures of, I know Daryl's little girls, they're all big girls now and married and families, and I was going through the desk the other day, I found a picture of them standing outside the old church, and I think Kelly's about maybe that tall, you know? And that was just yesterday to me. So I was walking through the parking lot at Walmart one day. And I do not go to Walmart very often because I don't know my way around and I don't like to not be catered to. You know, when you go in there, you're on your own. All right? So I go into the Walmart parking lot. You know how big the Walmart parking lot is? If you ever been there? And man, I mean, I heard a commotion like, I mean, it just caught my attention. What is going on over there? Well, it was a young lady that was a member of this congregation. She had three small boys. And I mean, the decibel level just increased every step that I got closer. That I got over there, and she had a Suburban. She was trying to get those kids in a Suburban, not a little car, a Suburban. And there was one over the back seat just wailing on one that was in a car seat on the front, and the third one didn't want to go in. And I mean, it was noisy, embarrassingly noisy. They weren't even my kids, and it was embarrassingly noisy. And so I walked up to this young lady, and I said, and I was sincere. I told her, I said, you want to remember these times. I said, enjoy it while you can, because it is over all too soon. And she looked me right in the eye and she said, "Would you like a couple of them right now?" I said, "No, but I am telling you, someday you'll be like me and you'll be sitting here watching someone else do this and you will have memories of that that you don't have now." So mothers, I encourage you, those of you that are young mothers, when you face these issues of motherhood and rearing children, understand, truly understand, I say this from my heart, it is over all too soon. Enjoy every minute of your children and your children's lives when they are young and when they are at home. It passes so unbelievably quickly. But when you're in the middle of it, when you're looking back, it was quick. When you're looking at it, you're in the midst of it. I know it's hard and I know it's long, but there comes a time when it's over, and when it's over, it's over. You get one chance. So what I'm saying is, make the most of that opportunity. Make the most of that chance. So the first assurance is, mothers will always have a constant companion. I want to go to Hebrews 13:5, and I want to tell you a little bit, just briefly, about this constant companion. Hebrews 13, And in the end, it says, "Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, the Comforter, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And you can take great consolation in that, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's one thing to leave someone, but it's another thing to forsake someone. And I know in the society in which we live, there are many instances in which women have been left or forsaken by their husbands. And that's the issue we deal with when we talk about single-parent households. But understand, when we talk about the Comforter that Jesus sends, he sends that Comforter to be your constant companion. When you're up at 2 o'clock in the night with that child, the Comforter is there. When you're in the hospital and they're sewing his finger on, that Comforter is there. And it says, and Jesus means this, and it may be hard for those of you that have had this in the physical happen to you, but the Comforter says, Jesus says, the Comforter says, the Holy Spirit, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So rest in the assurance that you always have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to be your companion. The second thing, when you need assistance, the Holy Spirit will remind you of God's abiding love. And I want to go to John 14:26. Let's go back to John. John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Comforter shall teach you all things. You know, when we talk about this issue of assistance, all right? Everybody needs assistance at some point in time. Truly they do. I think mothers with children, most definitely more so than most people. One of the things is, it's hard, it really is hard for a man to understand this concept of total dependence. Because, you know, as much as people are dependent upon us as fathers and men, as mothers, you experience this issue of total dependency. What you do in raising your children, particularly when they're very young, I mean, if the things that they want done didn't get done, they wouldn't survive, you know? And they want it, whatever it is, when they want it. In those years when they can't communicate, you know. And even sometimes in those years when they can communicate, children just have a real lack of patience. You know? But truly speaking, men don't understand. It's difficult for me. I can only speak for one. But it's difficult for me to understand the concept of someone being totally dependent on me. If I didn't feed them, they wouldn't eat. If I didn't change their pants, then their pants would be soiled all the time. If I didn't hold them, nobody would hold them. You know what I'm saying is, this total dependence is quite another thing from someone being dependent on you to bring the paycheck home, to be the father, you know, et cetera, and all of these other things. This is a total dependence. And it is a dependence that is a tremendous responsibility, and every parent willingly takes on that responsibility when they become a parent. But it's total dependence, so it's total responsibility. And I understand when, and again, I want to use an illustration of, I came in the house one time and my youngest boy was lying on the floor like this with his knees up, and my wife was standing over him like this. And I thought, you know, that's unusual. I haven't seen that before. But I knew, believe me, early on in my marriage, I knew I'm not going to go in there right at this moment in time and find out what's going on. But he was laying there, hands spread out, knees up on the floor, and Dallas was over him going like this. So later that evening, I said, well, what was that all about? Well, he'd walked into the kitchen where she was working. She was busy doing other things. And he said, I want a glass of water. She said, just a minute. So he just grabbed his throat and started going like that and fell down on the floor. Now, he knew he wasn't going to die if he didn't get a glass of water. But you know what? He wanted that glass of water right then, right now. Everything, the sun, the moon, the stars revolved around him. And that's what he thought, and that's what children think. And in many cases, that's the case when they're little bitty babies. But you know what? They are dependent. And one of the charges that we have is in parents is to raise them to be independent. But you can't start that day one. You know, that has to wait. I think this particular instance that I'm talking about, Dallas, my wife, was aware that he was aware of more than what he was letting on in terms of, you know, he could get his own glass of water. He was old enough. He was tall enough. He knew where the glasses and the spigot were. But, you know, still, he was dependent on his mom. He said, I want that glass of water. And when she didn't just drop everything and go get it, then he overreacted. And that reminds, not remind me, but, you know, we bought a little plaque that has this chicken, this mother hen. And we still have that? And she's got an apron on. And she's standing there with her wings out like this, and there's all these little yellow chicks looking up at her. And the caption on that is, yeah, I'm the mom, that's why. I'm the mom, that's why. So, you know, your children, mothers, are going to ask you and test you and try you. And they want to be independent. But they want to be independent when they can't. And so we as parents and mothers especially have to recognize how far that dependence goes. But you know, although it varies by degrees as your children get older, never, never, never believe that your children are not dependent on you through the course of their lives. It's just in varying degrees. So I implore you, enjoy those times in the midst of all of those struggles and difficulties and the things that you do when your children are young. Enjoy them because they don't last but just for a fleeting moment. And always know that the Holy Spirit will remind you of God's abiding love. The third thing is, in Philippians 4:19, Philippians 4:19. The third assurance that God gives is that the Spirit of God will help you fulfill every single responsibility He gives you. And rest assured that He does give you responsibilities. Now, I don't have to say that to those of you that are mothers, have been or are right now. The Holy Spirit, God gives you responsibilities. God gives fathers responsibilities. God gives families responsibilities. I mean, through the course of our life, we're always going to have responsibilities. But as a mother, God gives you responsibilities. And sometimes it seems as though those responsibilities are more than I can handle. I know it does. I've seen it. But God says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I understand the issue of that you can use that verse to talk about material things. But, you know, our needs are not always in the area of material things. And God says, Jesus says, "I will supply," I'm just going to read it, "but my God shall supply all your need." So when we have needs, then we need to go to where the supply is. And the supply is God, because I know that our supply, or mother's supply, you know, dad's supply runs short sometimes too. But the issue is, mothers are, they've got a supply a lot more than a dad's got a supply. You know, I'm not going to stand here and tell you all the things I didn't do, but I mean, you know, I mean, there's diapers to change. You know, I was gone a lot when, you know, during the day when it was time to change those diapers. And I was real tired at night, so I didn't want to do it. Well, anyway, the issue is they've got to be done. Those things have got to be done. And God gives those responsibilities to parents. And He says He shall supply all our need, or all your need as a mother. And this promise is still true to those who are in Christ and who are faithful to God. You can't just pick this Bible up, open it up, this is the first thing you see, and you say, "Oh boy, I really like that, I enjoy it." No, this is a promise. And it's a conditional promise. But my God, if He is our God, He will supply if we are true to Him, if we are faithful. I want to stress that in this sense. It is very important, mothers, that you raise your children in church. I'm just telling you, we do everything we can here as a staff. In Sunday school and youth group, we have fine people. We have always had fine people that work in these areas. And I'm going to tell you, it is what you do now is crucial to what will happen later. We have youth group, we have Sunday school, we have Awanas. There are children that come in to Awanas from outside the church, just members of the community. So, you know, that's an outreach for us. But let me tell you, it is a terribly important thing when you're a mother to see that you do the best you can do, the most you can do, to see that those children are raised in church. Now, when I'm talking about church, I'm talking about a church where the Holy Spirit, where God is exalted, where the Holy Spirit is understood and recognized, a believing church. There are churches, it's not good enough. You know, my son and my daughter-in-law live in a town far away, and I tell them, you need to get into church, you know. But not just any church. You know, as a parent and as a grandparent, you know, my wife tells me, you can't tell those kids what to do. And I try not to, but sometimes she says, that's exactly what you're doing, is telling them what to do. Well, I would like to. I would like to tell my kids that they're, because I know. I know what they need to be doing. And if they would just listen to me, let me tell you, life would be a lot easier. Would have been and would be. Now, I'm being a little facetious there, but the issue is, as long as you exercise that authority, as long as you are in that position of responsibility, you need to see that those children are in church, all right? Because it's a tragic thing when you grow older. What you don't want to do is you don't want to look back and say, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that, or I regret not having done this. I'm not going to say that we won't have those at the end of our life. Probably everybody will have some. But don't let it be a regret that says, I wish I had done something that would have improved or made my children's life better. I wish I had raised my children in church. You know, you have resources to draw upon. You know, there's a covering here. There's a protecting here. You have people that, like myself, who've raised their children. And you have people that have suffered through the things that you've suffered through, have gone through the things that you've gone through, have raised their children. Many been successful. But understand, the church is a resource, and the church is a place that you should want to be, and you should want your children to be, and it's to your credit. I'll tell you something. We're in society. I'll just say this. This is kind of a man thing, but I don't know if anybody ever heard of Harold Morris in here, twice pardoned, went to prison, two life terms. Yeah, it's been some time back that Harold Morris's books were in there. But, you know, he's got a really tragic story. He really, really does. But the issue is, when he would talk and give his testimony, he'd say, you know, don't look at, I got one of these jailhouse testimonies. He was a tremendous athlete and married way above his station and lost all of that. And he said, you know, he said, everybody in society is looking for this person that they want to be like. You know, this athlete or that guy or this gal. But he said, you know what? He said, just go stand in front of the church on Sunday morning and you look at the man that's walking his children and his wife into that church. And he said, that's the man you want to be like. And I would submit to you that mothers, others could look at you and learn that same lesson. As you bring your children to Sunday school, as you bring your children to the nursery, as you do the things in the nursery and in the Sunday school that you do, it wouldn't be possible for Awanas. We wouldn't have Awanas if it weren't for the mothers that do the things that they do. And so we've got these responsibilities. The Spirit of God will help you fulfill these responsibilities. And one of the ways He'll help is use the church and the people in the church. And that's important to know. You know, you can come to me anytime and say, what shouldn't I do? Because I've made every mistake there is probably in rearing children. I can tell you what you shouldn't do. You know? That's just a fact. And I can also tell you what you should do, because I've done some things right. And if I can't tell you, I guarantee you there's someone in this church that can. So this church is a resource for mothers. And it's very important. God, one of your responsibilities as a mother is to see that your children are nurtured in an environment like they can be nurtured in this church. And it will have effects, profound effects, upon them for the rest of their life. The rest of their life. Okay. The fourth assurance that I would like to give you here. I wrote the page number down, but not the scripture. So let me go to the page number, and then I'll tell you what the scripture is. Like I said, I can tell you things that you can't. What things you can do wrong. So on page 166 in my Bible, somebody tell me where it says there. Okay. I'm going to just kind of leave you on your own on this one here, because here's what I did. I wrote the scripture down. I wrote the page it's on. But I didn't write which one it is. So, Romans 8:1. There it is at the top of the page. Thank you. That's it. Get a drink of water there and kind of cool things off of them. Get a little hot. Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never condemn you. I want to tell you something. Your children are going to make mistakes. If I can speak with anything of certainty, I can say that. Your children are going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes because they're sinners. And we need to understand that we're sinners also. But our goal is to grow towards God. You know, we see so often people vicariously living their lives through their children. We see that a lot in sports. I mean, parents just keeping their kids out of school until they're, I don't know, so they'll be 18, 19 years old when they graduate. They can get that scholarship, you know. Believe me, I enjoy sports. I love going to the basketball games. But, you know, I hate sitting by the parents. No, I'm dead serious. Serious as a heart attack. Is that what they say? When my kids were playing sports, I hated sitting with the parents. But the issue is, when we talk about the Holy Spirit will never condemn you, you know, it's like you do everything you can as a mother to raise your children and impart to them the knowledge that they need to do right. To do right. I mean, you know what is right, okay? It's not just to do what you say to do, but to do right. But, you know, kids just fall short sometimes. One of the stories that I read was about a lady, and she said, got this call from a guy who had fresh cement in front of his house. And he said, you know, there's a terrible obscenity written in this cement. And she said, well, I understand that. Why are you calling me? Because she said, your son signed his name. So, you know, he was walking by some fresh cement on the way home from school, and he scrawled this obscenity, and then he signed his name to it. And it was the neighbor's house. So, you know, she said, I couldn't believe the embarrassment. And there were those things, you know, she talked about some of the other things that happened while her kids were growing up. Well, understand, your children are going to disappoint you. Your children are not going to do everything that's right. And sometimes the world is going to, you know, the world would look at you and condemn you. But I want to say this, the Holy Spirit will never condemn you. As a mother, the Holy Spirit will never condemn you for things and failings that might be in your children. Because our goal as parents and our goal as children, is to be walking constantly toward God. Even, I'm going to say this, not just a mistake. Sometimes our children can make a series of mistakes. But God, the Holy Spirit, will never condemn you. I know sometimes mothers take that upon themselves. It's hard for fathers too, but it happens. And I can just almost assure you that it will happen to you in your life of rearing children. Just understand, irregardless of the degree of that mistake, the Holy Spirit never condemns you, nor your children. That is something that I think it's important, really important. That's really some of the meat of this message today, is to understand there is no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. The Holy Spirit never condemns. He will not condemn. Now, I want to give us our last one here. God will supply all your need. I want to go to the Old Testament, 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. First Kings 17, 8 through 16. Now, as we read this story, I want us to really consider what is happening here. And to do that, you have to sort of consider the time, all right? But In 1 Kings 17, 8, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zion, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. In verse 13, Elijah said to this widow, I'll just go back there and read it. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." Now here was a woman who had absolutely come to the end of her rope in terms of sustaining herself. She had just enough for one more little meal, and then she was going to go cook that, and they were going to just starve to death. That's what she felt like was going to happen, and apart from the intervention, probably would have happened. But she said, I that's all I've got. Well, I want you to know, God says to you as mothers, and again, I want to address this to single mothers. God says, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said." You know, Elijah tells her, "Don't be afraid." And he says, "Go on and do what you're going to do." Which was what? She was going to take care of her children, her child, the best way she knew how. She was going to use the last of her resources and do everything she could until they were totally exhausted for her child. That's what she was out there doing. What she should have been doing. Fulfilling her responsibility. Knowing that that was it. We're coming to the end of anything I can do. And you know, I know mothers come to the end of themselves sometimes. Or so my daughter has told me. It happens. You come to the end of yourself and you think, there's nothing more I can do. I've done everything I can do. And things aren't going very good. And God says, "Fear not." And what did she do when God asked her, or excuse me, when Elijah asked her to get him a glass of water? She went to go get it. She didn't ask a question, "Who are you?" She went to go get it. And he said, "You know, I'm asking you, please fix me a little piece of cake, or fix me some bread." And that's when she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." She's saying, "I know you're a prophet." That's her proclamation. "I know you're a prophet, but please know, I'm at the end. I have no more. I cannot do this. It's impossible." But you know, Elijah told her to do it, and she unquestioningly obeyed what he told. She is an example that is unsurpassed in the Bible, for in the Old Testament, of a Gentile woman who, when she was asked to do this, she just unquestioningly did it. Because it was from God, and she knew it was from God, and she recognized it was from God. So we need to understand, you need to understand as mothers, God says to you, when you come to the end of yourself, the end of your resources, whatever they may be, emotional, physical, material, when you come to that place where you feel like you're at the end of your rope, God says, "Fear not. Go and do the things that I've told you to do." And if you're sensitive to the voice of the Lord, if you hear what He's telling you to do, if you're doing the things that you know to be right by reading the Scriptures, then fear not. Because God has given you the assurance that He will sustain you. And it is the full assurance of the Scripture that speaks to that. I want to say this as we close. And I don't want to embarrass anyone here, but if you're a single mother, could I get you to hold your hand up? Okay. Could I ask you to come forward? If you're a single mother, if you can. Again, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'd just like to ask you to come forward. And I wonder if the music team could come forward. I just want you to know, and I have said this, and I want you to know, because the Scripture says it, it's true. This was a difficult thing for me to put together and to talk about, and I really don't want to embarrass anyone here. I really don't. But as I prayed about this, I asked the Lord, I said, I want this to be, if it's your will, Lord, I want this to be for single mothers, more than for mothers that have a husband. Now, right or wrong, that's what I want it to be. I have said to you this day that the church is a resource for you. Now I'm going to ask this congregation, if you believe that, if you believe, I'm going to pose this to the mothers. We've got other mothers here. If you believe what I said, that this church is a resource, and you want to be a part of that, I want you to come up, and I want you to pick one of these mothers out, and I want you to stand behind her. Any mother that understands what it is to be a mother, any mother that understands what it is to need resources, now, what you say, what you mothers say, verifies what I said from the pulpit, that this church is a resource. And I pledge to you that this church will do everything it can to help you, assist you in any way we can with your children, with those issues that you face as mothers, no matter how old your children are. Any way, whatever way we can help. I'd like to ask that, and I'm going to pray here in a second, but we've talked about the Holy Spirit. I'd like to ask those in the back line just to reach forward and lay your hand upon the shoulder of those in the front line. Touch them so that they know that you're there. And as I pray, I ask you to stand in support of this prayer, and I ask you, those of you on the back line, I ask you to stand in support of these mothers and the needs that they have. Father, we come before you, and we know, Father God, that motherhood is probably the most important thing. Father God, if not the most difficult thing, Father God, there is to do. Father, because of whatever reasons, who knows? I know some, I don't know others. But Father, we have before us a group of young mothers here, a group of mothers, Father God, who are single. And your word tells us, you give all these assurances, Father God. You'll never condemn. You'll always supply. You'll meet every need that they have. Father God, I'm asking you now that you, Lord, assure them in their heart that they may know that what's been said is true here today, Father God. And I want to ask you that when they have needs, Father God, they would be free, and they would be faithful, and they would be willing to share those needs, Father God, with this church and this congregation. Father, we unite our faith as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding, Father, that there are times when others need to be lifted up and others need to be helped. Father God, no more time is that true than when a single mother is doing the things, Father God, she has to do to support her family. And Father God, oftentimes, I know, feels like she's neglecting one area or one aspect of the child to provide bread, Lord, just to put a meal on the table, to work and then go home and be a mother, which in and of itself is a full-time job. Father, I want to ask you, Lord, to to bless each one of these mothers, not just single, Father God, but every mother that's here. I want to ask that you bless them, Father God, and we want to stand in prayer. I've asked them to come forward, Father God, so those of us in this congregation in attendance today will know who these young ladies are, Father God, who these mothers are. Irregardless of their place in life, Father God, they have come forward and they said, I'm a single mother. They've not come asking for help, Father God. They've come because I asked them to come. But Father God, I am telling them before you, Father God, and before this congregation, that we are a resource and that we will be a resource, Father God, to these young ladies. And I want you to assure them of that, Father God, that they know in their spirits. As we see them, Father, I pray, may they also see us, so they know who we are, that they might call upon us, Father God, that they might, in their time of need, Father, feel free, feel that when they need that understanding and they need that help, Father God, these ladies have stood and they've identified themselves and said, I want to be a part of those resources, Father God, that you say are available to them for prayer, for whatever, in any way they can help, Father God, they avail themselves. So right now, Lord, we thank you for this Mother's Day. Father God, I thank you for this church and this congregation. And I thank you, Father God, for your goodness and for your mercy. And I pray that as we go from this place, Lord, your assurance, your total assurance, Father God, let these ladies know, each and every one, there is therefore now no condemnation. Father, I thank you for the mothers they are. And Father God, I want to ask a blessing on their children. Father God, young, old, whatever their station, on whatever their place in life, I ask, Father God, that you honor the faith, the believing faith of these ladies, Father God, who are mothers. Father, these that are single mothers, I want to ask you, Lord, you are, Father God, the protector and the provider to the widow and the orphan. Father God, I just thank you for that. And I avail myself, Father. And I know that the resources of this church, Father God, I avail myself, the elders, the deacons, Father God, the fathers, the husbands. Lord, I just ask that when we see a need, and I ask that we would see the need, Father. Sometimes we don't see the need. I ask you open our eyes to see the need. And Father God, I pray that there would be no time in which any of these ladies would be ever ashamed, Father God, to ask for the help that they need. I want to thank you, Father, for Word of Life Church. I want to thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ. Father God, for the Church Universal. And I want to pray as we go from this place today, I want to pray, Father God, that your grace and your mercy would rest and abide upon these ladies, Father, each and every one, but especially on these, Father God, that bear this responsibility apart from a mate. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Ladies, please remain here for just a second as we close. If I could get the music ministry just to not play a going out song yet, but just a song that is a... We never close the service here, and I understand this is not a salvation message per se. But we never close the service, we never leave, that we don't ask people if they don't know the Lord. Now, I'm gonna ask that we bow our heads and that we close our eyes. I'm going to ask if there is anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't know the Holy Spirit, who doesn't know the God that provides these assurances. If you're unsure about that, if you're at least a little bit unsure about that, if you would like to know not only those things, but where you would be if you died and went to eternity, If you desire to know that, and you don't, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I'd like you to raise your hand if there's anyone in here today. Anyone in here today? Okay.